The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on October 16, 1987 at Marari Sevak Farm in Mulberry, Tennessee. The class begins with a reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, Chapter 7, Text 22 through 25.
Punati aya hoi mohamato Nache kande hase gai joiche madamato.
Translation. See, Panchatattva themselves danced again and again and thus made it easier to drink nectarian love of Godhead. They danced, cried, laughed, and chanted like madmen, and in this way they distributed love of Godhead. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada of Text 22, Chapter 7, Adi Lila Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. People generally cannot understand the actual meaning of chanting and dancing. Describing the Goswami, Srinivas Acharya stated, Krishna Kirtana Gana Nartana Paro. Not only did Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates demonstrate this chanting and dancing, but the six Goswamis also followed in the next generation. The present Krishna consciousness movement follows the same principle, and therefore simply by chanting and dancing we have received good responses all over the world. It is to be understood, however, that this chanting and dancing do not belong to this material world. They are actually transcendental activities, for the more one engages in chanting and dancing, the more he can taste the nectar of transcendental love of Godhead. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta Swami purport. The Panchatattva practiced what they preached. They said to sing and dance in ecstasy, and they used to sing and dance and drink the nectarian love of Godhead. They were not the only ones, but their followers, the six Goswamis, even to the present day, the ISKCON devotees, engage in this Harinam Sankirtan. This is enables one to taste the special nectar of the love of Godhead.
Patra patra bichar nahi nahi snanastan je jaha pai taha kore premodan.
In distributing love of Godhead, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates did not consider who was a fit candidate and who was not. Nor were such the distribution, where such distribution should or should not take place, they made no conditions. Whoever they got the opportunity, the members of the Panchatattva distributed love of Godhead. Purport, there are some rascals who dare to speak against the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by criticizing the movement for accepting Europeans and Americans as brahmanas and offering them sannyasa. But here is an authoritative statement that in distributing the love of Godhead, one should not consider whether the recipients are Europeans, Americans, Hindus, Muslims, etc. The Krishna consciousness movement should be spread wherever possible, and one should accept those who thus become Vaishnavas as greater than brahmanas, Hindus, or Indians. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu desired that his name be spread in each and every town and village on the surface of the globe. Therefore, when the cult of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is spread all over the world, should those who embrace it not be accepted as Vaishnavas, brahmanas, and sannyasis? These foolish arguments are sometimes raised by envious rascals. But Krishna, conscious devotees do not care about them. We strictly follow the principles set down by the Panchatattva. So, in India, there was for a long time amongst the smartas. Smartas are the very caste conscious ritualistic brahmanas. The idea that if you cross the ocean, you would lose your Vedic culture. So anyone who crossed the ocean, they were considered outcasts. And so none of the sannyasis dared to cross the ocean. It was a big thing when, in 1980 something, 1800 something, the first sannyasi came to the west. Then again when Prabhupada came in 1965. Because the idea was no one should leave India. Even this idea had penetrated into the sort of the Vaishnava community of the Gaudiya Mata. When Srila Prabhupada presented that he wanted to carry out the instructions of His Divine Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Mahasoy, then some of his followers, they told Prabhupada that, why do you want to go preaching to the other countries? So because Lord Chaitanya predicted that this movement will be spread all over the world. They said, oh, that prediction, everyone knows. That prediction means all over India, the civilized world. I said, no, and he said, Prativite, that means the globe, the whole earth. I said, no, how is it possible people in the Mlechya countries are going to take to this? How is it possible? The Prabhupada, he was determined, no, Lord Chaitanya said it is possible. So they kind of wrote to the Prabhupada office some kind of a fanatic or something. They thought, it's not possible to preach Krishna consciousness outside of India. No one will accept it, so what's the use of trying? But Srila Prabhupada was so filled with faith in the words of Lord Chaitanya that he personally took it up after also being ordered by dream again by his spiritual master. He took up the mission and he went of course overseas and spread Krishna consciousness. So this is a kind of a spiritual revolution. Even some famous Indologist, Professor Bhashan of the Canberra University, mentioned that of all things, since the time of Jesus Christ, there's no bigger historical event of Eastern religion coming to the West than the Krishna conscious movement. So even the modern Indologist and historian, they're also accepting that this is a great historical moment. This is all based upon the fact that Prabhupada had the faith in the words of the Guru and the words of Lord Chaitanya. So after the movement spread to the West, then there were those, especially the impersonalists, they didn't want to accept that the followers of the Krishna conscious movement were in fact Hindus or Brahmanas or Sannyasis. Of course, in one sense, the Krishna conscious movement is not Hindu, since the idea of Hindu is a more recent name that's been coined from Afghanistan and Pakistan. Krishna consciousness is Sanatana Dharma, or eternal religious principles, not some sectarian religion. But Sanatana Dharma is also an anachronism, they call it, in the same word, synonym for what's popularly known as Hindu Dharma in India. But the meaning is much more clear and accurate. In any case, I remember one time I was sent, different sannyasis were sent to different temples to get recognized. So now in all the temples of India, Krishna conscious devotees are recognized as followers of Vedic culture and they're admitted into the temple, with the exception of the Jagannath Puri temple. So I was sent there to inquire what would be required to go into the Jagannath Puri temple, because Prabhupada wanted his followers to be able to go there. So I went to the temple administrators and authorities and they told me to go to see the Shankaracharya of Puri. So at that time I was fairly new in India. I'd just been there for 6 months or something. It was a big thing. So I went to the Shankaracharya in Puri. I went to the Shankaracharya and he had a little ashram there, and up in his room, he was sitting on his cot, and he had a deity of Radha and Krishna. Maybe 60 years old, gray hair, shaved up. So now we ask him that whether we'd be able to go to the Jagannath Puri temple. Now that we follow all these principles, I think we'll be admitted. So then he told a story about one famous person who used to play the flute for Jagannath and look at the deity of Jagannath called there's a deity on the front gate you can see, but you're not allowed to go in. You can see the little Jagannath there. And he told this story how this person would come and play his flute every day. And one day he died, and the next life he took birth as a Hindu. So the purport was, you know, tough luck. Only way you're going to get in this temple is take another birth. So he was quite a caste-conscious kind of person. But anyway, we started to discuss. And, of course, being a Shankaracharya, he was a born-again Mahavadi. Then I asked him that, why do you worship Radha and Krishna? He said, well, I worship Radha Krishna because I'm worshiping myself. I'm Nandi, I'm Radha Krishna. I'm God. I'm Narayan. I'm the Brahman. Yeah, so then I said, well. Then I got me really angry. So then I said, well, Radha Krishna are so beautiful, but you're old and wrinkled. So why is there the difference? He said, that's my Leela. It's my Leela. I said, but that Leela, everyone is playing. I said, if you could keep yourself young, that would be the different Leela. Krishna was always young. So Prabhupada actually informed us one time that there are some Shankaracharyas, they worship Radha and Krishna later. Because their Mayavadi philosophy is just word juggling, that everything is one, everyone is God. It sounds good, but in practicality it's very dry. And so to get some juice, they worship Radha and Krishna. So one time Prabhupada actually said how he had challenged one Mayavadi, that actually in your private quarters you worship Radha and Krishna. This proves that your impersonal process is not satisfying. You have to follow the bhakti process. This is the actual impersonal process is very dry. And they may think that they're God, or they may think that this is their pastime. They're growing old. But this is like another form of illusion. That pastime, everyone is performing the pastime of growing old. If someone could show themselves growing younger, that would be another thing. But growing old, it's just an illusion to think that you're God. But in this way, they're illusioned by Maya, and they think, even though they're in some big, big position, they miss the point that they're not this material body. They may know that, but they think actually that they're God. That's their illusion. Some of these Mayavadis, they meditate in the morning on the sun, and they think that they're, now let the sun come up, now let it rise in the sky. You know, then this way they're thinking that it's like they're making the sun rise and set. But even if they fall asleep, it still rises and sets. And this way, sometimes even they have whole groups of people meditating with the sun coming. They all think that they're like waking. So, of course, if somebody set their watch wrong, then they, it's not coming on time. So, Panchatattva, they didn't come to just give people some kind of cheap thing. They came actually to purify the entire world, to distribute love of Godhead to everyone. So they didn't consider that this person is fit or this person is unfit. If you have a little desire, take it. If you have a desire, you can have it. Even you may be very unfit for it, but if you want it, alright, Lord Chaitanya, he'll give it. That's a special mercy. Even Vidura was present when Krishna was on the planet. But he didn't go to Krishna and ask Krishna directly for love of Godhead. He was feeling unfit. So although we may be unfit, we may feel that I'm not worthy of getting such a benediction from Lord Chaitanya, but Lord Chaitanya being the most merciful and being the one who's giving to the most fallen souls, therefore being unfit itself is a type of qualification. Narottam Das Thakur used to pray, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu daya kora more tuma bina ke dayalu jagata sangsari. My dear Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, please have your mercy upon me because you're the most merciful of all, and who is there more merciful than you? There's no one more fallen than I am, therefore I should get your mercy first. Patita pavana hitu tava avatara mosama patita prabhu napayibeyara. You have come to deliver the fallen souls, O dear Lord Chaitanya, and there is no one more fallen than I, therefore I need your mercy first. Actually, if someone is unfit, he can make a claim that there's no one more unfit than I am, therefore I need your mercy more. Because being so unfit, no one else will ever give me mercy but you. Therefore, I need your mercy first. Just like Nityananda Prabhu, he gave the mercy to Jagai Madai because they were the most unfit. They thought, let me demonstrate to the people that even the most unfit can get. Therefore, others will take heart in the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. The more the Panchatattva were tasting the nectar, the more their thirst grew. This way they are drinking more and more. Tastes better. Normally a material thing, the more you take, the more you get tired finally. There's a saturation point. But the spiritual habit, the more you take, the more you want. But there's also no material obstacle for getting, so you can just go on chanting and your ecstasy increases more and more. Lutiya kayadiya bandara ujare ashtaja banda prema sata gunabare. Although the members of the Panchatattva plundered the storehouse of love of Godhead and ate and distributed its contents, there was no scarcity, for this wonderful storehouse is so complete. As the love is distributed, the supply increases hundreds of times. That's what you call automatic inventory restocking. Maintaining inventory is very difficult in a business, you see. But here, to the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there is no problem for inventory. As soon as they take, and not only they're just taking ordinary sense, they're plundering, they're going and taking as much as they can. So you'd think that in no time the inventory will be exhausted. But as soon as they come back, it's 100 times more, and it's just going in like anything. So, we're giving special franchises for the storehouse of love of Godhead. Special wholesale bargain. You take and distribute as much as you can, and don't worry about the supply. Right? Recently, sometimes they make these businesses, you pay $100, you can make unlimited phone calls, things like that, then they go bankrupt. Because people, they take so much phone calls, they do so much, the whole thing collapses. Right? Always happens. They try to get some cheap flights to London or something, and get so competitive, in the end the thing goes bankrupt because it's cutting the corners. But, in this regard, Prabhupada has explained in his purport. A pseudo-incarnation of Krishna once told his disciple that he had emptied himself by giving all knowledge, and he was thus spiritually bankrupt. Such bluffers speak in this way to cheat the public, but actual spiritual consciousness is so perfect that the more it is distributed, the more it increases. Bankruptcy is a term which applies in the material world, but the storehouse of love of God in the spiritual world can never be depleted. Krishna is providing for millions and trillions of living entities by supplying all their necessities. And even if all the innumerable living entities wanted to become Krishna conscious, there would be no scarcity of love of Godhead, nor would there be insufficiency in providing for their maintenance. Our Krishna conscious movement was started single-handedly, and one provided for our livelihood, but at present we are spending hundreds and thousands of dollars all over the world. And the movement is increasing more and more. Thus there is no question of scarcity. Although jealous persons may be envious, if we stick to our principles and follow the footsteps of the Panchatattva, this movement will go out unchecked by imitation swamis, sannyasis, religionists, philosophers, or scientists. For it is transcendental to all material considerations. Therefore those who propagate the Krishna consciousness movement should not be afraid of such rascals and fools. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta Swami purport of text 24. So, Prabhupada, he had faith in the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message. He took that message all over the world. When he came back to India, at first he was found that instead of being welcomed, he was welcomed by the public, welcomed by the political leaders, he was welcomed by the educationalists, he was welcomed by everyone except so-called swamis, sannyasis, religionists, philosophers. That they had some apprehension. A few scientists maybe. That they even actively politicked against, because they saw this as a very big threat. So many people around the world are getting love for Godhead. They're dancing and dancing in the street. If this continues to spread, this is very bad for the type of hereditary monopolies on so-called Hindu Dharma. But nothing can check the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu movement. The movement goes on unimpeded by external forces. In fact, we find that, just as Prabhupada said, that externally there's nothing can stop the Krishna conscious movement, but we have to remain united and cooperative. Internally, we can, by fighting, whatever, we can hamper our progress. We've seen even in some third world countries or dictatorships, something where the society has, or some country where this is a totalitarian culture, and they come down very heavy on the devotees, maybe arresting them. Hardly anyone gives up Krishna consciousness. They go on enthusiastically propagating. But when the easygoing is more prominent, when it's more easygoing, and then they have the time to get into little squabbles, and by internal misunderstanding, sometimes someone may leave the Krishna conscious movement. So we should avoid these type of internal bickering, which are really rare nowadays, but sometimes they do happen. They should be avoided. And we should follow in the footsteps of the six Goswamis, tackling the external obstacles that come up by preaching, and this way one can achieve really quickly the platform of pure devotional service. Prabhupada said we shouldn't be afraid of such rascals and fools. Actually, even in India sometime we went and preached to some very big pundits who were very learned. They could quote whole chapters of Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapters of the Bhagavad Gita by heart. But they couldn't answer the basic questions that Prabhupada gave. They couldn't, even though they knew so much, but they could not give a relative point that would answer that question. This is the mercy of Lord Krishna. So, text 25 is Ujjalila prema bona chodi ke berai Sri Vridha Balak Jubha Sabare Dubai. The flood of Godhead is swelled in all directions. And thus young men, old men, women and children were all immersed in that condition. Purport, when the contents of the storehouse of love of Godhead is thus distributed, there is a powerful inundation which covers the entire land. In Srimad Mayapur there is sometimes a great flood after the rainy season. This is an indication that from the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya the inundation of love of Godhead should be spread all over the world. For this will help everyone, including old men, young men, women and children. The Krishna consciousness movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so powerful that it can inundate the entire world and interest all classes of men in the subject of love of Godhead. So, this year, since Mayapur was flooded, as Prabhupada mentioned, this is an indication that from the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya, the Sankirtan movement preaching should be, the inundation of love of Godhead should be spread all over the world. Here in Murari, in the valleys get filled up with love of Godhead. We need to have it overflow, and just like the morning frost goes from one valley to the next, has to overflow and cover the whole Tennessee, Alabama, and so on. The love of Godhead is unlimited supply. You don't have to build the warehouse that's already stored in Krishna's warehouse. It's simply a question of giving it out. Nityananda, he used to give his mercy to everyone he met. He didn't distinguish that this person's quality. If someone came up and asked for the mercy, you can have it. Just like, say you want to get a visa for someone. Normally they want to see how much money do you have, where's your ticket, what's your solvency. They want to see whether you're fit to get a visa. Some countries, especially foreigners, want to come to America. They have to demonstrate a lot of different things. But in this way, there's some red tape or some qualification one has to meet in order to get a visa. But to get the visa back to home, back to Godhead, to get the pure love for Godhead, there's no such restriction. Simply, do you have a desire? Yes. Okay, take it. If someone's eager, they can get it. But even if one is, the opportunity is there, but if one is not eagerly trying to get it, then they miss this great opportunity. So we should not miss the chance. We should be very eager, very anxious to get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this lifetime. By getting this mercy now, while he's offering it at such a discounted price, then we'll, after achieving, we won't have any other, anything left to desire, apart from doing more devotional service. Any question? Yes? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yes. You see, Hindu Dharma doesn't indicate really what it is. No, just like, for instance, we read yesterday that out of thousands of karmis, one is better than when he is situated in perfect Vedic knowledge. Out of many such learned scholars and philosophers, one who is actually liberated from material bondage is better. And out of many such persons who are actually liberated, one who is a devotee of the Supreme Person of Godhead is considered to be the best. Among the many such transcendent lovers of the Supreme Person of Godhead, the gopis are the best, and so on. Within the Vedic culture, there are different levels: karma, jnana, yoga, bhakti. So which doesn't indicate, you say Hindu dharma, that doesn't indicate that what level is a person at. Someone may be born as a Hindu, but may be actually an atheist, may not be following their culture. So these things are to differentiate. Therefore, the point is that according to the broader vision, everyone is a member of Sanatana Dharma. Everyone is actually a member of the culture. Because everyone has a relationship or a potential relationship or a dormant relationship with God. So the question is those who have already awakened to that and those who are unawakened. Just because someone is born in a family doesn't mean that they're merely Krishna conscious. That actually the process of Vaishnavism or process of Krishna consciousness is not hereditary. It can be, of course, aided by having Krishna conscious parents. They give the instruction, they give association. But ultimately, it is up to the individual to accept and to want to practice. Because it's a totally voluntary process. It's not just a rubber stamp. So, the modern sectarian idea, if you're born in America, you're an American. If you're born a Hindu, you're a Muslim or a Christian, you're Hindu, Muslim or Christian. This is another form of racism. It's another form of sectarian viewpoint that divides the world and causes conflict. So the actual understanding of Krishna consciousness or Sanatana Dharma is that it's the eternal relationship with the individual soul to the Supreme Soul, the service relationship. And everyone has that, but some it's dormant and others it's active. So for those who are active, they're considered the active workers, active participants. Those who it's dormant, well, they're just still materially entangled. So, sometime in this description about the Hinduism, there's this understanding, and some people say, oh, the Hare Krishnas, they don't consider themselves to be Hindus, so we shouldn't cooperate. But it's not exactly like that. The point is that the basic concept of it, we believe in Vedic culture, we believe in Sanatana, we practice Sanatana Dharma, we practice worshipping Krishna, and we respect all the different aspects, but the difference is that the kind of perversions, or the simply the birthright aspect of it, the idea that there are many gods and they're all equal, these concepts are very much repugnant to the Krishna conscious outlook. Krishna consciousness means that we accept there's one supreme Godhead, and that there may be others, powerful forces in the universe, but these are not equal or comparable or above, for sure, the supreme personality of Godhead. So, of course, it's always easy way out to say one is Hindu, but actually it would not adequately describe. It'd rather replace the word Hindu, which is a kind of a nickname, with something more descriptive like Sanatana Dharma, which means the eternal religious principles have no beginning and no end. Yes? Well, somebody has to believe in the truth. Whoever believing in the truth, it's not sectarian. If someone believes in something which is basically incorrect or incomplete, then that's a problem. Since Shiva himself says that he's not the supreme, he comes from Brahma, he comes from Vishnu. Brahma is his father by Leela. Was asked by Parvati, what's the greatest type of worship? He said, Aradharanang Sarveshang Vishnu Aradharang Param Tasmat Paratrang Devi Tadiyanam Samarchanam. But Vishnu worship is the supreme, and worship of Vishnu's devotees and beloved objects is even more beneficial than worshipping Vishnu. There are many other points like this where he himself is engaged in meditating on Krishna and Ram. So, if one puts a false premise forward, then naturally that's going to create a type of a sectarian bias because it's not correct. But if one places forward the point that there is one Supreme Lord and everyone is his devotee, everyone is his servant,